I'm Amanda. I'm an alcoholic. I feel like this is really high up. Okay. My sobriety date is January 28th, 2009. This is my home group. And it's been my home group the whole time. I have a sponsor. I've had the same sponsor my whole sobriety, which is awesome because she knows everything about me for her. And then I have the privilege of sponsoring someone who's here, and she has saved my life so much. She's been just amazing. I'm very nervous. I've been thinking about this for days. Well, 3 days, but, you know, I've just been nervous because this group means a lot to me. But anyway, I'll just, like, get it going. I also grew up in a small town in Massachusetts, very exciting, Kingston, Massachusetts, and I also remember partying in the woods. Brian did an awesome job, except it's scary because in the woods, like, we would have big fires, and I would be, like, rolling in the fire, and, like, my friends would leave me there with people I didn't know. So, you know, that was always nice. But, you know, I grew up pretty normal family. My parents have been married my whole life. I have an older sister. No one in my family is an alcoholic. My mom claims that my dad's dad was, but he died a long time ago, so no one really knows if that's true. But my mom also thinks anyone who has more than 3 drinks is an alcoholic, so who knows? But there is a lot of mental illness in my family, and I thought for a while that was why I was so crazy. And my mom's brother killed himself. A lot of my family members just have, like, a lot of mental health issues. So for a long time, I thought that was my problem. But it's not my only problem. So I grew up and I was a pretty, like, normal kid, I guess. Like, I always kind of, like, I always had friends, but I always felt like they were better friends with each other than they were with me. Like, I had this one best friend and I was, like, obsessed with her and, like, convinced that she liked this other friend more. And, like, I still feel like that sometimes today, but, you know, it's, like, sick when you're, like, 6 years old and you're thinking that you have no friends. But, you know, I was a pretty good kid. I was, like, obsessed with school. That was, like, the one thing I was really good at. I wasn't athletic, so that was, like, I had to be good at something. And I loved school. I was, like, the teacher's pet. I was one of those kids that was, like, I'm never going to do drugs. Like, anyone who smokes or drink is, like, awful. And I once caught my dad smoking cigarettes, and I cried. And in the sixth grade, I won the DARE essay award, like, Dare to Stay Off Drugs. Yeah, I talked about, like, how I was going to, like, go the road, like, less traveled or something. I have no idea. It was so cheesy. I wish I had it. But, so, yeah, and I won, like, some award for that. But, you know, things, like, made a quick change. Like, around eighth grade, like, something just changed. I had my first drink that summer. I was out with some friends on Martha's Vineyard, which is, like, off of Massachusetts. It's an island. And my friend's dad, who's, like, the only alcoholic I had known at that point, his name was Stu. I don't know why I just said that, but whatever. His name was Stu. And he was just really sketchy. Like, he was, like, what I thought was an alcoholic. Like, he was a criminal defense lawyer. He would, like, meet up with his clients and get, like, wasted with them. And, like, he would hide all his money in his closet and sleep all day. And I just thought he was such a loser. And that's, like, so I was, that's what I thought an alcoholic was. I didn't think I was, like, old enough to be an alcoholic or, you know, struggling enough, but I was definitely struggling. You'll hear about that. So anyway, like, we stole some of his alcohol and just, like, put it in water bottles and just went off, like, somewhere drinking. And I don't remember much of that night. I don't think I blacked out that night, but almost every night after that I did. And then right after that summer, I started, I had decided I wanted to go to a boarding high school, partly because I was, like, my sister had an eating disorder and I wanted to kind of, like, get away from my family. And at that point, like, I just wanted to be with friends. I didn't want anything to do with my parents. I just thought they were so uncool. They wouldn't let me hang out with boys, like, 5 years older than me, and I didn't understand, like, why. And so I started going to this boarding high school, and it was, I just think about it now, and it, like, makes me, like, sick thinking about this high school, but you know, I talked to people that went there today, and they, like, had a great experience, so I just know it's me, you know, that is crazy. But anyway, since I was at this school, I couldn't drink, like, every day, and I didn't, like, want to drink every day right away. I definitely liked it, like, right away, though, and I started drinking more often when I was, like, 15 or 16. I had my first blackout. I was at, my friend had, like, some Sweet 16 party. And, like, the minute that the guys got there with, like, the big hockey bag of Natty Ice, I was so excited. And I just, like, stashed a bunch of them in my purse. And, like, I don't remember anything from that night except puking and, like, making a fool of myself probably. But I do remember I had, like, 3 minutes where I felt really good. And I was, like, dancing. And I was, like, a good dancer. And, you know, I don't know what was going on. But the next day I woke up and I heard that I had made out with my friend in front of her dad. And I just, like, you know, just stuff like that. Like, I didn't believe that, like, I had done that. I was, like, I don't like girls. Like, that doesn't make sense. And but that's what I do when I drink. I have no idea what's going to happen. Absolutely no idea. I become a totally different person. And that kind of scared me, but not really. I just, like, still could remember the 3 minutes that were really fun, and I just, like, wanted to cherish that, and I chased that for so long. And, you know, like, I still didn't, I started drinking more and more throughout high school as much as I could. School was really hard, and, you know, I don't know, it was, like, just thinking about it stresses me out, really. Because we would have class every day from 8 to 3, and then we would have sports and stuff, and, you know, I had to play a sport even though I wasn't athletic. And I actually did get good at cross-country and, like, track, but I stopped doing it because the meets were on the weekend, and, you know, I couldn't drink if I had a meet. So basically drinking just started taking over things that I was good at and that meant something to me. So I had a boyfriend in high school, I don't know, and so that kind of also, like, I didn't drink a lot when I was dating him. But once we broke up, I started drinking more. And my junior year, I became, like, really depressed. Like, I started, like, I was drinking every weekend. Whenever I could, I would take it to school and hide it in my room. And I also, like, started realizing that I was, like, a really messy drunk and that, like, I couldn't do that all the time at school because I didn't want to get kicked out. So I started doing other stuff in my room. And we also didn't have locks on our door. So I was always, like, being, like, really shady and, like, closing my door. And, like, I thought I would hear people. And I would just, like, lay in my bed all night, like, wondering why I couldn't sleep, you know, because I'm, like, doing other stuff. So around then, too, I started hanging out with people from another town. I thought it's high school. I hate this high school. This is why I'm so miserable. And I started just doing anything I could to drink. Like, I would drive, like, 2 hours away to, like, a frat party, like, at 16 to, like, drink, you know, and that's kind of sad. And I would, like, drink and pass out and in a frat house, so who knows. But, yeah. Where I lost my train of thought. Okay. So anyway, and my parents at this time, like, they would catch me with alcohol and stuff, and they would, like, ask me about it, and it was always like, oh, I'm like, that's someone else's, or, like, I don't know where that came from. Like, clearly it's mine. And I just always had some really lame excuse, and my mom would always, like, try to yell at me about it, and she didn't like a lot of my behavior at that point, and I was an awful daughter to her. You know, I would tell my mom I hated her. I would tell her she had no friends. I would say she was a loser. I was just absolutely, absolutely awful to my mother. And today we actually have a really good relationship. I talk to her almost every day. And I kind of see now, like, where she was coming from. Before, I just thought she was trying to ruin all my fun. I thought anyone who said something about my drinking just didn't understand, like, how much fun I was having. Like, I needed to do this. So by the time my senior year, I totaled my car that summer too, into a tree on someone's lawn. And my parents, I don't know how, I didn't get arrested or anything because it was so early. It was like 8 o'clock at night and I was already, like, blacked out. So my senior year started and I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do about college. I still had good grades, and that was another reason I didn't think I had a problem. I was miserable, though. You know, I was into, like, self-harm. I thought my life was just, like, really hard, and, you know, I was just crazy. Like, kind of like Brian said, like, I would take anything and run with it, you know, like, eating or doing that, like, working out, whatever it was. Like, I was just obsessive, boys especially. And so I was kind of, like, trying to figure out where I was going to go to school, and I had no idea, and I had, like, applied to all these, like, huge schools, and I was going to go to UVM at one point, and then this girl at my school told me she was going to Eckerd, and she's like, it's this great party school on the beach, and it's going to be so much fun, like, they have rolling admissions, you'll probably get in right away, and I was like, okay, that sounds great. Like, didn't meet any of my criteria. It was, like, a small school, like, it had nothing that I had, like, said to my school counselor that I wanted. And I got in, and I went and saw it, and I was like, this is great. Like, I could be far away from my family. And, you know, that's, like, all I could think about. Like, I was just so excited. I was like, I can't wait to start over. And so, like, my senior year came to an end or whatever, and, like, I was so proud because I won the biggest party animal, superlative. And I remember just thinking, like, if anyone else wins this, like, that's really messed up. Like, no one else deserves this. Like, I deserve this. And and that summer, like, that's when I can remember, like, I had always been kind of, like, shaky ever since I started drinking. I shook all the time. Like, my whole body would, like, shake if I wasn't drunk. It was awful. I remember, like, prom pictures just, like, standing there, like, quivering. I was so terrified. So my shaking got really, really bad, and I, like, started drinking more in the morning or basically, like, whenever I could. I had my fake ID at this point, of course, and so I was, like, buying it, getting other people to buy it for me. And, you know, my friends were starting to get concerned, but, like, not so much. Because I only had, like, one female friend, and then the rest were guys. And we would kind of, like, go from group to group, depending on who we had, you know, pissed off at that point. And, you know, we would just kind of rotate around. And, like, sometimes she would say stuff to me. And she'd be like, you're not an alcoholic. You just get so excited when you drink that you, like, can't stop. And I'm like, yeah, like, I do. I get so excited. I just, like, and she would take, like, hours to get ready. So I would blame it on her that I was blacked out by the time we went out. Because I would just drink the minute we got it. But I also didn't understand, like, she was a heavy partier. But, like, she wouldn't drink in the morning. You know, like, she didn't want to, like, just drink while we were watching TV. Like, I just wanted to drink whenever I could. So something happened with her and I that summer. And she didn't want to talk to me anymore. And that was, like, really tough, and, you know, I didn't have, like, obviously I had, like, no friends, so, you know, I started drinking more by myself, and then, you know, somehow we became friends again, and I was getting ready to go off to school, and I was really excited, and I remember thinking, like, if only I can, like, quit smoking cigarettes, and I can get a boyfriend, like, everything will be great, like, not thinking, like, I'm a blackout drunk, you know, like, you know, that's why people don't want to date me, and I had boyfriends, like, break up with me because of my drinking. They were just like, this isn't fun for us. You're not, like, the type of girl I want to be with. And I just didn't understand, you know. I was like, well, trying to have a good time here. So I went off to college. Like, that was the only goal I had. I had, like, no, like, ambitions. Like, at this point, like, alcohol had taken kind of most of that from me. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to major in. I didn't really care about classes. And school was, like, the one thing I had always done well. Like, I never, like, for me to get a B was, like, the worst thing in the world. I was really, like, type A when I came to school. And I still am. And so, you know, I got to Eckerd, and that girl from college and I, she spoke here in January for me, we ended up being roommates. So we, like, I was all excited, and the day we moved in, it was like 100 degrees, and I was thinking, like, why did I decide to come to Florida? Like, I hate the heat. And, you know, my mom and dad are, like, lugging all my stuff in. My dad went and bought, like, this big carpet for the room so it'd be homey. And, you know, my mom's, like, unpacking and, like, lugging things in. I'm just, like, straightening my hair. And I'm, like, and then I'm, like, waiting for them to leave, like, looking at my watch. And my mom, like, not helping at all, like, completely selfish. And the second they were out the door, I was drinking. And first night there, I blacked out. My drinking started getting more, like, around the clock once I was at Eckerd because, like, no one was watching me. You know, I couldn't, you know, I could basically do whatever I wanted. And Daphne and I got, you know, pretty crazy right away. She started working at Hooters. And so I was all excited because I was like, she's going to have, like, the great connections at Hooters now and, like, I'll get our alcohol. And so it got pretty, like, scary pretty quickly. We had, within, like, a week, this, like, random drug dealer was, like, living in our room and, like, I was lending him money, which, like, I still sometimes get resentful when I think about the money I lent him. But, you know, I chose to give it away. You know, he told me he was going to gamble and bring me back twice as much. And I was, you know, drunk and told him I believed him. I was like, that sounds great. Obviously never saw him again. So that happened. And, you know, around the same time, like, I started doing other stuff too, like even more things. And I was mixing a lot of stuff. And I got a boyfriend somehow. And this guy drank a lot too. And our relationship, like, started off, like, the day I, like, pretty much overdosed in my room. Like, he freaked out, and, like, we drove to Cocoa Beach to, like, detox me, aka, like, drink and not do anything else. And so we started dating, and, like, from the moment we started dating, like, all I remember doing is, like, drinking beer, sitting in his room. And, you know, that's when, like, I was kind of more embarrassed about my drinking because, like, I felt like I had to hide it with him because he would, like, ask me, like, how did you get so drunk last night? Like, we didn't even drink that much. But I would be, like, drinking in the shower and just, like, trying to be sketchy with my alcohol. And he didn't, like that I was, like, doing other stuff. So I kind of put that to the wayside for a little bit. And then I started, one day I woke up after, like, a night of partying and I realized, like, I had peed the bed and that was, like, horrifying with my boyfriend in the bed, you know, and, like, I was talking to Bill about this before the meeting and, like, I don't know, I know it's embarrassing to say, but, like, I'm sure someone has done this and, like, doesn't, like, realize that it's okay, like, most alcoholics have done it, at least, like, a lot of people I've talked to, but this was absolutely mortifying for me and now I can laugh about it, but I remember being in treatment and someone saying that they had done that and I was like, oh my God, she said it, like, out loud. And I, like, and I couldn't believe it. And then I, like, said that I had done it too. And this, like, happened a lot. It wasn't just, like, a one occasion. Like, almost every night. And the poor guy, like, I would make him do the laundry. Like, I'd be like, I'm not touching it. Like, you can do it. Make him, like, do everything. And at this point, too, like, I couldn't even take care of myself. Him and his friends would be like, Amanda, like, when was the last time you showered? You know, like, his friends hated me, like, for good reason. And I would, like, throw beer cans at them. And, you know, I was just really sick. And they didn't understand, like, why I rolled out of bed and grabbed a beer, like, the second I got, you know, the second I woke up. I also wasn't going to class anymore. Basically, I had to drop one of my classes because I went in with my stuffed animal. I was so drunk. I brought my unicorn Flurry, and I was just really loud, so I was like, all right, I gotta just drop that class. So I was only taking three, so I had like a lot of free time, more time to drink, more time than I really needed, and just gave me more time to party. And that happened. And then around that same time, my parents started kind of figuring out what was going on, because they were like, why are you only taking three? You know, that doesn't seem right. You know, your sister took five, you know. And so my mom made me stay and take a winter term class. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, my boyfriend won't be here. But the best thing that came out of that was that I met some of my best friends that I have today. And the next year, we ended up living together in the dorm Delta Berkeley, and we called ourselves the Delta Trash. Today, we just shorten it to Trash. So that's like, if you ever hear me talking about them, that's who this is. So I met most of them my freshman year, and that was awesome. We partied a lot together. We had a lot of fun. But, you know, now they're, like, normal. They can, like, drink, or, like, they don't have to drink. Like, they never drink around me anymore. And I'm always like, feel free, you know. Feel free to have a beer at dinner. And they're like, no, we don't need to. But so I stayed for that winter term, and I did the class, and that's when I started really getting in trouble with school. Like, at first I could just kind of slither by, but this one teacher would not like give up on me. He was like, you know, you're missing too many days. And then we had this like camping trip it was a leadership conference basically. And we were all supposed to learn and grow about ourselves. And I walked on the bus with my little Vera Bradley backpack and a handle sticking out. And I blacked out. My friend Avalon and I were spooning when we got there at 3 p.m. So needless to say, he found the alcohol, and he was no one's ever done this on this trip. Like, this is a really supposed to be a positive experience. And it was not. Needless to say, I was dying the next couple days. We had to do the zip line, and of course I couldn't do anything because I was so terrified of everything. I just basically watched everybody do this stuff because I was terrified of heights, and anytime I tried to get up there, I started shaking, so I just went down. And I actually made amends to that teacher a couple months ago. My friend was like, Amanda, it's been 3 years, or it's been 5 years since you were in that class. Why haven't you done it? And she's not even an AA. And so I went there, and it wasn't the greatest amends, but you know, it was what I had to, I said what I needed to say, and then I listened to what he had to say. So by the end of my freshman year, Nick was kind of over our relationship. He was he had lined up his next girlfriend, and he was you know, he had already given me so many ultimatums about my drinking, and I just didn't know what, I couldn't stop drinking. I love drinking. And there was a couple times where I'd try. I remember this one week I tried, and I didn't drink for 4 days. And by Friday, I was well, what else am I going to do tonight? I'm in college. What else do people do? And I thought that was normal. Most of my friends drank like that. A lot of my friends drank during the day. I thought that was okay. So that last night, I drank, and he couldn't find me, and we broke up. And I used that as an a catalyst to drink more and kind of get back into the other stuff I was doing. And I just became, really crazy. I became very delusional. I remember I started, giving things away because I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to be around much longer. You know, just acting like a crazy person. And one night I had gotten into this big fight with my roommate, and I packed my backpack with Flurry, once again, the stuffed animal, and a picture of my parents, and then my plastic bottle of Heritage, which was my favorite alcohol. It was $9.99 for this giant thing. And so I packed all that stuff, and I went to the beach right by Eckerd, and I took my roommate's pink jumper up, and I was like, I'm just gonna hang myself, you know. And I don't know, it didn't work out. And but I ended up leaving my shoes there because I was like, well, that's a good enough, you know, I'll just give those up. And then I tried to hang myself from my bedpost, and you know, college beds, they're down here. So clearly it didn't work out, and I'm here today. But that, I mean, back then, that scared me, and I didn't tell anyone about that. And today I'm just that's insane. And so at the end of that year, you know, I started failing out of classes because I couldn't do public speaking. I couldn't even, raise my hand and say, here when they did attendance, because I would just be so freaked out about people and, talking to people. And so two of my classes I got Fs in, and, I'd never had an F in my life. And my parents got my grades, and they were obviously mortified. So they were like, okay, you need to do better next year, or, you know, we're going to have to do something different. So my sophomore year, I was like, okay, it's going to be different. My roommate and I had a different roommate, and I thought that that was also going to change things. I was like, well, if I'm not roommates with her, maybe I'll be different, because her and I would use and drink a lot together. But it wasn't any different, obviously, because I was still the problem. My roommate and I would, like, come up with things like, we're not going to drink, like, on weekdays or when we have class, and that quickly fell to the wayside. I was drinking, like, round the clock, and pretty soon after that, I started thinking, like, I was going to lose my mind. I was shaking constantly. I had the worst anxiety. I thought I was dying all the time. So I would go to, like, the ER and sit there, and they would take me back there, and then they'd try to refer me to the psych unit, and I'd be like, I'm good, and I'd leave. I would literally waste hours of my life just sitting there because I didn't know what else to do. And I thought if I could just get on, like, some Xanax, like, everything would be great. I was like, I buy it anyway. I might as well be on it. So, you know, as that went on, my crazy behavior just kept getting worse. I, you know, around, like, Halloween time, I was, you know, getting really delusional. I was wearing my Dorothy costume for, like, a month, you know, showing up at the psychiatrist with the Dorothy costume on and a dog, you know. I was stealing my friend's dog, and she still talks about this to this day because it terrified her, and I would, like, lock her out of my room, and I'd be like, Bella's my dog, you know, like, you can't come in. And my friends were just, like, freaked out. They were like, this isn't normal. Like, my friends would get up in the morning after drinking, go to class. They would do volunteer work on the weekends. They would go to the gym. Like, I was always like, why would you do that, you know? But secretly, I was jealous because I wanted to do those things. I just physically couldn't, you know? And so, you know, my friends and I went, I did end up seeing this doctor, and I got on some stuff that, you know, kind of brought me to, like, even more blackouts. And I was just in blackouts for, like weeks at a time. I really don't remember much of that time in my life or really much of anything. A lot of this is just what my friends have told me. So I'm hoping that's somewhat of true, but, you know, I remember bits and pieces, and sometimes things will come back to me, which is awful. Like, I don't want to remember that. And so, you know, it started getting really bad because I started drinking and driving more, and, like, that was something I was like, no, I'm never going to do that, you know, and I did it sometimes up in Massachusetts, but not as much as I started doing it down here. And I was also, like, basically blind and, like, couldn't get my contacts in. I was too vain to wear glasses, so I'd wear one contact and I'd be, like, lopsided and couldn't see, you know. I was just a complete disaster. Danger to others, for sure. And I was always driving without my headlights on, so I don't know how I didn't get pulled over. Definitely should have gotten a DUI, but I guess God had other plans. So my friends and I went to this one bar one night, and I like, made friends with someone who was, like, a lot older, and I thought he was, like, really cool. And, you know, the next day, he walked me back to my campus, and the Eckerd security, like, called the police on him for trespassing. And so Eckerd started, you know, Eckerd obviously knew what was going on, and they told my parents, like, Amanda needs help, and, we can't be liable for her. Like, she's just really sick. So I went, I was getting ready to go to detox at PAR, and my friends were like, okay, like, you need to, like, just get ready and go. And I was like, no, I have a lot of things I need to bring. You know, I had, like, all my picture frames. I had, like, all these inappropriate outfits. Like, I had, like, dresses, like, red striped t-shirt, like, you know, my friend's, like, empty Adderall pill box. You know, it's like, what was I doing? And my wind chime, of course. I had this little wind chime that I wanted to come with me. So I basically packed, like, 3 suitcases, and they only let me take, like, one little thing in, you know, because everything was just so inappropriate. And we went to Panera before, and I was telling everyone that I was going to detox, and I thought this was, like, funny until, like the next day when I was, like, sober, and I was mortified, and I was, like, looking around, I'm like, and I was mortified, but, like, at the same time, I was like, these are my people, like, I finally feel like I can, like, be myself. And I remember, like, journaling, like, I can finally just, like, shake, and it's okay, like, no one here cares, like, and I got put on, like, some restriction for flirting with, like, some older man, and they were like, you can't talk to the men at all, you know. So I was just like, and I don't remember going to any meetings. I mean, I know I've gone with Bill there. I mean, I'm sure they had meetings, but I literally just smoked cigarettes, stayed in my room, wrote in, like, the journals that they gave us, which I still have. And, you know, it was an experience. And I don't remember thinking, like, I'm going to quit drinking. I think I knew that it was a big problem for me. But I just couldn't imagine my life without alcohol. It was, like, my best friend. And, like, some people say it's, like, their lover. That was basically, like, my relationship with alcohol. It was the only thing that I really, truly cared about. So I got out of there, and I drank for a couple more months. I don't know. I just start, you know, once you start, it goes right up again. And everything was, like, just getting worse. And my friends didn't want anything to do with me anymore. And they were just kind of terrified by, like, the things I was doing. Like, I started, you know, I would literally meet someone at, like, the gas station and be like, do you want to hang out? You know, and or, like, I made a Match.com profile because I was like, I'll just find people to drink with here. You know, because no one would drink with me anymore. People were freaked out. And so I would start, you know, I would wake up and, like, what is it? I can't even remember. It's like somewhere near Sarasota, and I wouldn't know how I got there, you know, like 2 a.m. going over the Skyway Bridge. And, you know, I would, like, have panic attacks, and I just really was losing it. My friends started calling my parents and, like, telling them what was going on because they were just so freaked out. My mom had always, like, told me I had a problem with alcohol, but I always told her, like, she was a problem. Like, she just needed to, like, leave me alone, let me drink, and everything would be fine. So one day, like, I was going to, like, the school counselor at this point because I was in so much trouble with Eckerd. I was getting written up a lot. And the last time I got written up, they wanted me to do this thing where I couldn't drink for a month and I had to sign the contract. And I was like, I can't promise you that I won't drink for a month. And I just walked out. So then 3 days later, my mom shows up at my door and I have like one contact in. I can't see. I'm probably drunk. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, I think I said it in a lot less nice words. But and Eckerd security was like behind her because they knew I would flip out. And my mom and the school counselor and this other, like, outreach counselor had an intervention for me. And I was just like, you know, oh, I forgot to say something else, but I guess it wasn't meant to be said. I guess, well, yeah, I should probably say it, because it was, like, my last, like, bottom. I had been drinking, like, that Sunday, a Sunday before my mom got here, and it was, like, the worst, like, this is, like, the worst thing I can think about in my drinking. And I had met a guy at the liquor store. And I ended up, like, hanging out with him at his, like, motel or whatever it was. And, like, the next day, like, I just felt so gross. And I just, like, I was laying, you know, like, those like places where there's no sheets and you just feel disgusting. And, like, I cried to this, like, random guy from, like, some other country. I don't know where he was from, but he couldn't even, like, understand what I was saying. But I told him, like, I wanted to kill myself and I hated my life. And he was like, but you're so young. You have such good life here. And I was like, no, like, I don't. And so that's just, like, you know, that was a really bad memory for me. But that was, like, my last, like, low, I think. So my mom was, like, my school and my mom were, like, you need to go to treatment. Or you can come back up to Boston. I was, like, no way am I going with you. You're the problem. I hate you. You know, all those nice things we say to our parents when they want us to stop drinking. And so my mom found Hyde Park, and my mom wanted me to go there because it was all women. And they would take me the next day. I think the other place was Fairwinds. They wouldn't take me until, like, Monday, and they didn't know what would happen to me over the weekend. So I ended up getting to Hyde Park the next day, and, like, you know, that night before then, like, I didn't drink that night, and I was just kind of, like, done. Like, I remember smoking cigarettes, and, like, I was mad at my friends, though. I was mad that they called my mom. I felt like they were, like, betraying me. But at the same time, like, I was so tired. Drinking was so much work. Like, I was physically just so addicted to alcohol that, like, I just was sick all the time. You know, I thought I was having ulcers. I was throwing up even when I was sober. It was just, it was really bad. Not a classy looking drinking person at all. So the next day I went to Hyde Park and they told me I'd be there for at least 90 days. And I was mortified. I was like, I thought this was a 28 day like stay. Cause I'd seen that movie in Detox and I thought that was the plan. Needless to say, it wasn't. And I like tried every way to get out of it. I was like, well, maybe if I tell them, like, you know, I don't know. I was trying to come up with lies to get out of it. And then finally, like, I just surrendered to it, sort of. Like, I knew I had to be in this treatment center for 90 days. And they told me I needed to get a sponsor. And they were like, get someone who has what you want. And I was like, I have no idea. But I saw, you know, my sponsor. And I was like, she has a really cute outfit on. She always can talk to people. Like, she doesn't ever seem, like, shy or scared of people. And that was, like, a big thing for me because I was absolutely terrified of people. Like, coming to meetings, I was, like, always mortified I was going to have to read something or, like, just do anything. And so I asked her to be my sponsor, and she was like, yes, call me every day. I didn't do that. I didn't call her, like, at all. I called her, like, once every 3 weeks. And, you know, when I got out of treatment, I didn't really do much. Like, I didn't go to meetings. Life got a little bit better because I wasn't so sick, and my parents were trusting me again. And things were getting better, but, like, inside I was so lonely, and, like, I would go to meetings, but I wouldn't stay after. I wouldn't talk to anyone. I was terrified of this meeting. I was like, it's all cliquey, and, like, it's too high school. And, like, but really I was just, like, scared to, like, get involved. And, like, I'm sure if I had put myself out there, people would have, you know, reciprocated. And so I ended up drinking one last time, and it wasn't even that bad of a drunk. It was just like any other night, except I didn't pee the bed, and I was so happy about that. It was like the one good thing. And you know, and then the next day I was like, I don't want to go back to this. And the guy I was dating at that point, he didn't know if he was an alcoholic or not, and he wanted to keep drinking, and I knew I couldn't. I knew the night I was drinking that I was an alcoholic. Like, I was literally like, okay, I'm alcoholic, but I'm drinking anyway. I was convinced, you know. And So I called Lindsay on a Wednesday, and then she was like, okay, you need to go to the red door. And I was like, I have no idea where that is. So she told me how to get there, and so I think I stayed on the phone with her until I got there. And then, like, a bunch of people that are here tonight were there, and, like, everybody was sharing. I don't remember anything that was said, but I remember afterwards, like, being, like, crazy, and they made me read some poem about how, like, God will give me the right person when it's, like, time, because I was not ready to let go of this awful relationship. And they just talked to me for, like, forever, like, Kaylin, I think it was Iris, too, and, yeah, and so they just talked to me about AA and, like, stuff like that, and, you know, I hated it, but, like, at the same time, it's what I needed. And getting sober the second time was really hard because I just, like, I really wanted to drink, and I was 21, so I was like, yeah, you know, I can go get it. I don't even have to use a fake. And but, you know, I started coming to AA every day and trying to take suggestions and calling my sponsor. I made this my home group, and I got a service commitment. I started doing the tea and lemonade, and I absolutely hated it. And I was so freaked out that I was going to, like, do it wrong. I called Lloyd, like, a million times to ask him how to make the tea, and, like, and then someone, like, I think it was, like, Dave and Ryan told me I was going to get kicked out for, like, not squeezing the lemons. And, like, so I was just like, what is this, you know? And I absolutely hated this commitment, but I did it for, like, probably 6 months. And thank God for it, because I had to be here every week at, like, 6:15. And that helped me, like, get to know people in this program. And I started working my steps, thank God, because I was absolutely, absolutely insane. I was really inappropriate, too. Like, I thought I was, like, totally normal. Like, I thought I was, like, a good newcomer. But I hear things that I said, and I'm just, like, mortified still. You know, like, the first time I went to speak with Bill, I wore, like, a short jean skirt to the detox. You know, I just didn't know it was appropriate. I had no idea. And luckily, people here taught me that, like, you need to be, like, a lady and, like, not look like that when you're going to speak in a detox. So I started doing the steps with my sponsor, and that was good. And, you know, I didn't really know, like, how I felt about God. I didn't say this either, but my mom's Jewish and my dad's Catholic, so, like, by bylaws or whatever, I'm Jewish. But, like, I hated that growing up. I was absolutely, like, that was, like, one of the first resentments I think I had was, like, everyone in my town was Catholic, and I absolutely hated the fact that we were Jewish. I was like, this is just so lame. Like, we're losers, you know? Just felt so different, you know? And, like, everyone was going to CCD. And so, like, I'd never really, like, believed in God. And, like, I don't remember if I ever prayed before coming here. But I was kind of like, I don't know if I believe this. And my sponsor was like, well, just, like, pray to be willing to believe. And I knew, like, it had to work at some level because, like, so many people were sober and so many people were so young and sober and like, any age, you know? And I was just like, okay, something's, like, got to give. You know, there's a reason I'm here. So I just started praying for, like, the willingness to, like, be willing and to, like, believe that there was something, like, out there. And, you know, we did my fourth step, and I, like, kind of liked writing that all out. I don't know. I, like, love, like, looking at things about myself. I don't know. It's really sick, actually, because I love talking about myself. So I was like, great, it's going to be, like, hours of talking about myself. But I was also scared because there was stuff on there I'd never told anyone, you know? And I was, like, at the end of my fifth step, she was, like, snapped, like, right away. Like, didn't even give me a minute to think. She's like, what are the three things you didn't tell me? And I was like, oh. And I told her, you know? And it was cool. It was, like, the first time I'd ever told anyone, like, the entire story, and she didn't judge me. And I went home, and I did my 6 and 7 or whatever, and I did my hour of meditation. I remember my dog, Berkeley, like, laid on my chest and, like, put his head by me, and it was just, like, the sweetest thing. Like, to me, that was, like, one of my God moments, you know? And, I mean, anything small like that, like, meant a lot to me. I started making my amends, and that's, like, but what I've actually been trying to work on a lot lately is just, like, you know, getting those done, because there's a lot of them, like, I did when I first got sober, and then, you know, I was kind of like, well, you know, I can, like, slack here a little bit. But I made my amends to my family and all my friends and, you know, that boyfriend at that time, and, you know, everybody was really awesome. And, you know, I just went up to New York and made an amends to my friend Brian from high school, and it was just really cool. And, you know, he was like, I'm just so glad you're okay. And that's pretty much what everyone said. I've never really had, like, an awful amends experience. I mean, I did get a letter back recently that wasn't, like, the most pleasant, but, of course, my sponsor, like, explained it to me that it was, like, actually pretty nice. She said something to me like, the body, mind, and spirit have a lot to offer when you're careful with them. And I was like, ooh, is that like a stab, you know? And I like analyzed it for days. And, you know, it's not like, it doesn't matter. You know, I said what I needed to say, and I cleaned up my side of the street. And so most of my amends went pretty well. And, you know, 10, I don't do all that often, honestly. I just made my sponsee do one the other day, and I haven't done one in a while. But, you know, I mean, whatever. I'll start doing them. I always do them when something comes up, I guess I'll do it, and if my sponsor tells me to. And then 11, you know, praying for me has, like, been up and down. You know, there's days where, like, I'm lazy and I forget. where I'm just, like, you know, busy, like, can't pray, you know. And I do pray, like, but I'm not great about getting on my knees and praying, and I'd like to get better at that. I just started meditating recently. Like, I was talking to someone at brunch a couple weeks ago, and she was like, why don't you try that? And I was like, okay. So I do, like, the five-minute ones on YouTube. That's all I can stand right now. I tried to do a 10-minute one. I thought I was going to lose my mind. So I do the five-minute ones, and, like, I feel really good after. So I'm working on that. And then for 12, you know, right away when I got sober, my sponsor was like, go talk to that new person. I'm like, oh, I'm new. Like, I have nothing to offer, you know. And she was like, you have one day. You know, that's more than that person has probably ever had. And so I started talking to new people right away, and I sponsored, like, you know, a couple people here and there, but, like, a lot of people didn't stick, and I got really frustrated, and, you know, and the sponsor you have now is absolutely amazing. You know, it's been really cool to, like, be a part of someone's life, and, you know, it's just helped me so much, and, like, that's just always what I hear in AA. Like, if I'm having a tough day or doing something, like, I just can't, you know, I'm just having a tough time, like, it's always, like, help someone else, you know, help another alcoholic. That's just kind of, like, been ingrained in me from people I know. And life is, like, actually really good today. I ended up graduating from Eckerd, the college I went to, in August. It only took me, like, an extra year and a half and my friends, but, you know, it happens. That was cool. I have my diploma, and it's not even framed. It's just, like, sitting on my desk, but I probably should frame it because that was a lot of work. And I never thought I'd, like, be able to finish school. Like, when I first got sober, I was like, maybe I'll just, like, forget about school altogether, you know? But that was, like, a goal for me, and I did it, and I didn't do it. Like, God did it, and everyone here helped me and listened to me complain, and, like, relentlessly about papers. I still call Lindsay all the time and bitch about or complain about all the papers I have. And now I'm in grad school now, and, you know, it's cool because, like, I'll talk to people in AA that have been there before me, and, like, they helped me so much. You know, and when I first got sober, too, like, going to conferences was really cool for me and just, like, trying new things, like, I went to IKIPA when I was 3 months sober, and it was, like, a couple thousand, like, young alcoholics. And I was like, this is so awesome. You know, I just felt, like, really excited about AA and, like, what we had here. And I just felt so grateful that there were so many people in it. And I went to World. That was, like, a bit overwhelming for me. a little too much, but, you know, it was good. And, you know, and, like, when I first got sober, too, like, people were like, come to Sober Stock. And I was like, I don't do camping, clearly, you know, I don't do that. But, you know, if I hadn't gone to Sober Stock, I probably wouldn't have met Sean, you know. So, and then the next year I went back, and we actually, like, camped out and everything. And, like, at first I was, like, totally against it. But, you know, like, I went, and the meetings were awesome. And, you know, it's just like that with A, like, if I try it, like, at least I'll know, you know, like, recently, like, one of my friends was like, do you want to, like, try hot yoga? And at first I was like, oh, I don't really like being warm, you know, I don't think so. And then I did it, and I liked it, you know, and it's just, it's cool, because, like, I would never try anything new when I was drinking. I was so terrified of everything. And, you know, my relationship with my family is so different today. You know, I actually really care about, like, how my parents, you know, feel. And, you know, like, sometimes I'll get off the phone with my mom, and I'll, like, call her back, and I'll be like, I don't know, was I using a tone? You know, like, I'm sorry if I was being short with you. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, you're fine, you know. And, you know, they're parents, so sometimes they still drive me nuts, but I absolutely love them, and they moved down here. And at first I was terrified of that. I was like, you know, I moved here to, like, get away from everybody, and now they're flocking down. And but it's actually really awesome to have them only, like, 35 minutes away. I live with my boyfriend, and we have two awesome dogs. I'm a mother to a bulldog and a Maltipoo. And, you know, I can take care of my dogs today. Like, I brush the Maltipoo's, like, teeth. Like, I use Plaque Blaster on him. Like, brush his fur. Like, I couldn't even brush my own teeth when I was drinking, you know. It's just, like, I'm gross, you know. And so now I can, like, take care of them. And I just have, like, an absolutely amazing life today, and so many awesome friends in AA. And, you know, I got to be a part of two weddings this year in AA, and, you know, for friends in AA. And it was just really cool because, like, no one would want me to do that when I was drinking. It was just really special. And, you know, I love everyone in this meeting. Like, you guys have been awesome. And anytime throughout my sobriety when I'm going through something, like, people in this room just reach out to me and, like, hug me and, like, tell me it's going to be okay. And it's just been really amazing. And I'm so grateful to be here. And I'm just so grateful for this meeting. And even though I was, like, terrified to speak, I knew I couldn't say no to AA or to my sponsor. And, you know, because this is, like, I was just talking to someone on the phone who's not even in AA. And she's like, well, maybe someone will get something out of it, you know, and you're going to be helping someone else. And I'm like, yeah, it's not about me. You know, I had to come up here and do this. And, you know, obviously I'm not a huge fan of public speaking or speaking at all, but in front of people. But, you know, hopefully someone got something out of this. And if not, like, keep calling back because, you know, I mean, sometimes you hear stuff you can relate to. And sometimes if you don't relate to me, you might relate to the next person. But thank you so much for having me speak. And